The last several weeks we've been talking about activating the power of God in your life, stirring up the gift of God within you. It's not enough to possess a gift. Many times we're coming to God and we're asking God to give us things, give us gifts, give us ability. But how many know that you can receive things from God in vain if you're not going to use what you've asked for? Paul the Apostle said, I have not received the grace of God in vain, but he labored. Amen. And God is also, he's faithful to give us what we ask for. Didn't Jesus say, if you ask, you would receive? And so it's not about achieving or striving for something. It's about, by faith, receiving what God is freely giving already. Because God knows that we have need of him, and without him, we can do nothing. So we need the grace of God to be active in our lives, but we have to be in a place where we are open and receptive to receive from God. That means we have to let the wall down, the guard down, open the door and allow God access to us to do the work in us that only he can do. And often because of issues and things that have happened in life, we've learned to distrust. And certainly, you know, all of us know what it's like to suffer betrayal by a friend or somebody close to us. And yet, God does not do that. God does not betray us. God does not hurt us. God cares. God loves us and wants the best for us. And so he wants us to trust him, to put our full confidence in that whatever he is offering is good for us. And it's something necessary for us. God wants to give us his Holy Spirit because it's not only good for us, but it's necessary for us to live the Christian life. You cannot live the Christian life apart from Christ. And Christ in you is the hope of glory. And so God is telling his people that I've given you already what you have, but you need to activate it. You need to apply it. You need to stir up that gift that's already in you, because you can have the gift of God, but that gift can lay dormant within you. And so we are given a stewardship over what God has invested in us, and we're responsible to take what God has given to us and to share it with others. So the title of today's message is, what will you bring to the King? What will you bring to the King? The Feast of Tabernacles, it was the last great feast of Israel during their sacred year. And during this feast, Israel was supposed to bring an offering of the fruit of their fields to Jerusalem to offer to the Lord. And they were not to bring rotten fruit or diseased fruit or their second best. They were to always offer to God their best. And so this was something that God required of Israel, that they would take an offering of the increase of their fruits and bring them and offer them back to him. So not only did God want them to bring the fruit, amen, he wanted them to bring the best. So the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot, is really a picture of the kingdom of God to come. What we need to understand today is that not only are we all going to stand before the Lord, but we are not to come empty-handed. When we come before the King, we are to come before the King, even as Israel of old, with an offering. Are you hearing me, somebody? Today, when we worship in spirit and in truth, and we bring offerings of gratitude, of thanks, and of praise. Amen. And that's the fruit of our lips. But God wants us to bring before him fruit. And the day is coming when all will see Jesus Christ. Amen. And so in that day, you are to bring an offering, okay, basically of what you have invested while you've had opportunity in this life, so that which would remain would be brought before the Lord. It would be given to him as an offering. Are you hearing me, somebody? And God will reward his people according to their faithfulness, how faithful they were to be good stewards over what he has invested in them through his giftings. And so everyone is required, hear me, to bear fruit. And the Lord, as a matter of fact, expects us to bear fruit. And fruit is not something that you force or make happen. Fruit is a result of abiding in the right conditions, the right environment, receiving the necessary sunshine and nourishment and moisture, everything that you have need of, amen, in order for you to bear fruit. Now, God has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Through the knowledge of finding out what God has freely given to me, I can come to him with confidence and receive all that I have need of to bear fruit. Because the fruit that God accepts is the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of his Spirit. And so it's very important that we understand that we're expected to bear fruit as his people. If you are in Christ today, then you are the planting of the Lord. It is a work that he's done in setting you up and positioning you so you could be a joint heir with Jesus, amen, and receive, hallelujah, the promise of the kingdom, to have an abundant welcome into the kingdom, to hear the Lord say in that day, well done, my good and faithful, what? Servant. John 15:2, Jesus said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. In verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So the Lord is looking for much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. And why is that? Because God gives us the best seed. He gives us the best seed. His seed is always fruit bearing. But he's looking for sowers. He's looking for laborers. He's looking for those who will partner with him in this world to accomplish his mission and to take that which he's invested in them and to give it out. And what you give away in his name, you don't lose. We're living for eternity, remember. So Jesus wants us to live our lives in such a way that on the day when we see him, we will have fruit to offer him. How many know that the Lord intercedes for us? We have an advocate with the Father. We have a great high priest who ever lives to make intercession for us. We come to the Lord, amen, and we call upon Jesus, hallelujah, and we make our petitions known. But the Lord is there representing us to the Father. We come to the Father through the Son. That is the way. And the Father gives grace, amen, and mercy if we need it. And so Jesus pleads with the Father to give you and I the grace that we need so that we will produce fruit in our lives. And if we are willing vessels and yielded vessels and willing to cooperate with God, then God will begin to work with you and in you in pruning off certain things that are non-productive. And that's where it becomes painful at times. Because I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more set I want to become, right? I don't like the change. We get everything just so and just set up and so predictable and all of a sudden something else, right? But God knows what he's doing with the product because he manufactured it. He knows what's best for us, right? In Luke 13:6, I want you to hear this. Jesus was speaking this parable. A certain man, which was speaking of the Father, had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, who would be Jesus, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? Now, if you've ever worked in an orchard or worked in a garden, Amen. If there's something that's just sucking the life out of the rest of the garden, it's non-productive. You want to get rid of it, right? If it's a weed or if it's a sucker branch that's taken the life-giving sap, amen, but it's not producing any fruit, well, you want to prune that thing off. You want to get rid of it. And if you certainly have been investing in a tree long enough, amen, and it's never producing any fruit, well, it makes good firewood. Yeah, applewood makes good firewood, right? If it's not producing apples, what's the point? How many know that we exist for the honor and the pleasure of our Creator? Luke 13:8, but he answered and said to him, Sir, this is the Lord pleading, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. He's saying, give it time. Let me work with it. Let me see if we can't work with this tree so that it will become fruit bearing. How many know that God, again, gives us everything we need to bear fruit? But there has to be a cooperation with the Lord in this. I have to be a willing vessel to say yes to the will of God for me. And then he said in verse 9, if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. You know, when people refuse to acknowledge their Creator, you know, when they refuse to live for the Lord, they eventually will be cut off. That's what we learn from this. This is not my word, this is God's word. A good tree does not have to work to bear fruit. This is the thing, guys. It's not about going out and trying and working and striving. It's about you and your relationship with Jesus Christ. And out of that relationship with the Lord will come all the good fruit of Him. But the devil works very hard to distract us from that, to involve us in other lesser things and, you know, distractions of life and even worries and cares of this life and riches and other types of things that he wants to bring in to distract people away from God. Because the devil really wants your faith and he wants your worship. So he wants you to divert your attention from the Lord to what he's doing. And sometimes good things can become bad things because they're not right things for us. There are some things that may be good in and of themselves that need to go because they can choke us. And we have to be willing to let go of anything that God says it's time for you to put this to rest. There are hobbies and things that we may enjoy that might be a stumbling block for us. They may be something that would hinder us in our walk. It may be a distraction away from the most important thing, and that is accomplishing the mission of God while we've been given an opportunity here. And how many years, we don't know. We don't know if we have another day. So good things can become bad things in the sense that they can choke us and rob us of being fruitful for the Lord. Some people are so preoccupied with their problems, focusing constantly on their problems and on their worries and all these fears and things that the enemy's throwing at us right now, that they quit living. They've shut down. I say it often, but we should never love our lives more than the purpose that God gave it to us in the first place. We should never be so afraid of dying that we quit living. God wants us to live, and he wants us to have an abundant life. An abundance of life is in him. And in a relationship and a walk with Jesus every day and being available, amen, to cooperate and work with the Lord, hallelujah, and go about and bear the precious seed, amen, of the word, to sow into the hearts and the lives of others. We hear about parents that are investing in their children. This is fruit. As they invest in their children, amen, as you invest in your children, you're investing in your heavenly bank account. Most importantly, you are pleasing the Lord. You are honoring the Lord by what you do. You see, Jesus paid the highest price for our salvation. So he deserves a return on his investment. He deserves that you and I will now, for the rest of our lives, live for him. To offer our bodies back to him. It's the reasonable service, the reasonable thing to do. When a person is born of the Spirit, born again, they become a new creation in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore what if, you can say it with me, anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. So when we are born again, when we step over that threshold out of death and into life, out of the old and into the new, when we come into Christ and Christ is dwelling within our hearts, we become spiritually alive. Amen? We become basically born again. We have a new life, a new heart, new desires, new passions. And in this new creation, we're able to worship God, not in just formality like many do, but in spirit and in truth. We worship the Lord in spirit. Amen. In this new creation, we're able to converse with the Lord and to hear his voice. In the new creation, we're able to communicate God's love to others. In this new creation, we're capable of bearing fruit. You see, the Lord has done everything already. He's already given everything. He's pouring out his spirit on any willing vessel that's willing to receive, but not just to receive so that it will sit dormant. Amen. It's not something to put just on display to make ourselves look spiritual. Can you say amen? Amen. But when God gives you something, it's so that you will take and you will invest it. Amen. It's not just for my benefit that I receive the word today. But what I receive, I can then share. And that's how the kingdom is advanced. When we take what we receive and we share it. And we go about bearing the precious seed. Amen. And we sow into the hearts and the lives of others in different ways. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. How we can bear fruit. The different ways of bearing fruit. Now, first of all, we know the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22. That's the Christ-like nature in us when we're born again. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. But there's also the bad fruit, isn't there? The bad fruit of the flesh. Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. All the things that we see going on in the world today. Of which I tell you beforehand, listen, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's also the fruit of winning souls for Jesus. Jesus told his disciples in John 15:16, he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So everything needs to be done in the love of God. All ministry flows out of the heart of God. Are you hearing me? It's not this legalistic thing I'm doing. I'm doing my chores today. No, it's a labor of love. Amen. We are an expression of God's heart in this world. And he said, these things I command you, right? That you love one another. And if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Well, so that's what's going on. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. In other words, if you're living the life that God has called you to live, you're not going to be that popular with the world. The world will hate you. How many know people that live in darkness do not want the light? People who live a lie hate the truth. But God prepares the soil of people's hearts. And some people today may not be receiving the truth, but tomorrow they may. Because God knows how to get a hold of a person. I'm one of them. And bring them to their knees, bring them to a place, amen, in their lives where they know there is no other option for me. There's no other way to life. And there's no escaping hell except through Jesus Christ. So in Hebrews 13:13, the writer of Hebrews said this, "Therefore, let us go forth to him," speaking of Jesus, "outside the camp, bearing his reproach." Jesus was crucified outside of the city. Amen. He was buried outside of the city. What is he saying? He's saying that we must join ourselves to the Lord and we must come out of the world system. We no longer worship the spirit of this world. Amen. We worship the Lord in spirit and in truth and a new life and a new beginning. Hallelujah. That he gives us to where now we can bear the fruit that pleases the Father. And so we have to be willing to step outside. Amen. The gates, if you will, of the world. And join ourselves to Christ and even bear his reproach. You can't serve two masters. You have to make up your mind who you're going to serve. And let me just say this, guys, we cannot serve ourselves only. And you can't be a Christian for you. You think about the life of Jesus. Jesus didn't live his life for himself. He lived his life for others. When I grow up, I want to be just like Jesus. Anybody here growing to become more and more like Jesus? I hope today you're here because you want to become more like Jesus. Amen. We don't want to just get more educated. Amen. And have a little more information. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Amen. We want our lives to be changed. The washing of the water of the word and everything to be brought into alignment with God's will and God's purpose for us. We want to live the spirit-led life so that we might bear fruit. We cannot bear fruit except that we abide in Jesus Christ, who is the vine. See, true followers of Jesus are willing to identify themselves with the Lord and bear his reproach. So the Lord is calling us out of the predictable, the comfortable. You know, even the place of religious conformity and formality and ceremony. See, a lot of folks, they just do church and they do church things because they think that that somehow is going to save them or give them a special place in heaven. You know, guys, we are the church, aren't we? We are the body of Christ. We are his temple. And we come together, we gather together in his name in a place, what we call a church, but it's really a synagogue. It's a building. Amen. I have a friend down in California that named his church the building. I thought that's cool. Because we say the church, people understand, identify. Yeah, that's a place where they gather, you know. But you and I understand that, don't we? That we are actually his temple. And we make up his church. So we got to be careful that we don't get caught up in religious formalities and denominationalism, you know, and become the part of the union, you know, because the union that the Lord wants is his people to be in union with him. Amen. In unity in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And work together, walk together and serve the Lord together. God gives authority in the body of Christ. Amen. But God gives us a place where we can meet. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? That we don't have to rent a building today. Are you willing to identify the Lord with the Lord and his mission? Are you willing to bear his reproach? You see, we cannot, hear this, we cannot accomplish the will of God for our lives if we're focused on ourselves. You cannot be self-conscious and be a good Christian. Jesus had to deny himself in order to do the Father's will. It didn't mean that he thought less about himself. He didn't pay so much attention to himself as he did paying attention to what the Father wanted. If we're self-centered, self-focused, then we cannot be God's servants. We cannot bear fruit if our focus is on ourselves and not on Christ. You cannot be a Christian for yourself. And sometimes, guys, we can get caught up into this thing where it becomes all about me and my own benefit. God knows that we need to be fed. Amen. We need to hear preaching. We need to be nourished in the word. Amen. And edified through the giftings that God has given to his body. But it's not enough just to be receiving. I receive something, amen, because I have a purpose. And that is what I receive from God, I'm now responsible for, as a steward of God's investment, to take what I receive and sow into others. Any of you that have taught Sunday school, even teaching your children, you know that you got to prepare for your class. Unless, of course, you're just reading from a stale curriculum. I mean, you know, the people can just read. Well, here, give me the book. I'll read it myself. Thanks very much. But there's nothing wrong with curriculum, amen, but we need to be led of the Spirit if we're going to use curriculum, amen, and be open to whatever the Lord's going to drop in and maybe give you a fresh word for right here and right now to invest in that child, right? But anybody that's ever taught a class knows that you've got to prepare yourself, right? You got to study and prepare for that class. And so as you are preparing for the class, guess what? You are being benefited. Isn't that true, man? You learn a lot when you start ministering to other people. But if it's always about just what I can get, personal enrichment, I've discovered something. You can very easily lose something that you've just used for you. I say it often, guys, but if you take what God gives you and you share it with somebody else, you don't lose it. Whatever you invest in agreement with the will of the Father, amen, and God's will for your life, whatever you give away that he tells you to give away, you never lose that. But you can lose what you try to hoard and hold on to and not share. Sometimes, not every time, but sometimes that's why people can never retain anything, because there's no outlet. Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. So, water, amen? God will bring the harvest, but he's expecting us to be good stewards over that gift. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, we are called to make disciples of what? All the nations. I believe a healthy church is a growing church. A fruit-bearing church is a soul-winning church. That's fully expressing Jesus. And all of us have a diverse gift set. We're all different. So don't expect everybody to think the way you do and operate the way you do. Everybody has a different gift set, and we're going to function according to that. We just need to be good stewards over what we have. Amen? What God has given to us. Amen? Because somebody needs what you have. And if I'm just, forgive the expression, but sitting on it, then somebody is going to be missing out on something that God has given to me, not just for me, but for somebody else. And you know, I find that as I begin to open my mouth and to share the word, that God begins to flow through my life. When I make myself available to be used of the Lord, he always comes through. And it's kind of like a flowing brook, isn't it? A bubbling, flowing brook that's teeming with life. When we're in the Spirit and in the moment with God, we're allowing God to speak through our lives, to work through our lives, then we stay refreshed. But the goal is not for me to be refreshed, but to refresh others. So when I love others, amen, I myself will receive God's love. You know, there's even a proverb that says, if you want friends, you got to show yourself to be friendly. You got to sow into a relationship, amen? Well, how come nobody ever shakes my hand? Well, did you shake their hand? Nobody loves me. Well, start loving somebody else and watch what will happen. John 4:35, Jesus said this, do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. The Lord and you and I working together with him. Amen. We get to do this. And when we are obedient to him and we are faithful stewards over what he's invested and we go about bearing that precious seed, amen, sowing that seed, guess what? We're going to be gathering fruit for eternal life. That's the kind of fruit that pleases the Father. Then we have the fruit of the lips. Isn't there the fruit of the lips? That is, term is a Hebraism. Can I say that right? Hebraism. Which really means, you know, your words, what you speak, your speech. And so we are to take words with us, amen, and come before the Lord with words. Hebrews 13:15, therefore by him let us continually offer what? The sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So the phrase, again, fruit of lips, is referring to our words, that which our lips produce. Hosea 14:2, take words with you in return to the Lord. When you repent, you need to take words with you, amen, to the Lord and say, Lord, I repent. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I have sinned. Lord, please forgive me. Lord, I will offer to you an offering of gratitude and of praise, and I'll offer my life back to you now out of gratitude and appreciation for what you've done in forgiving my sins. Now I want to be a vessel to reach out and help others find you too. Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Didn't Jesus say, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven? Mm-hmm. But if you deny me before men, I will also deny you before my Father and his holy angels. So we cannot effectively preach the gospel without the use of words. Well, I just lived the life. Yes, of course you lived the life, right? You know where I'm going. Of course you lived the life. Of course you demonstrate good Christian character, amen, and integrity around the people of the world, all right? And at all times, really. But the most important thing, guys, is that we're also responding to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, who at times is going to tell us to do something that maybe naturally we're not comfortable doing. Speaking to a stranger. Well, you know, I find that if I'm fearful, it means I need more God. I need more. Come on. Anybody here find yourself fearful at times? If you don't raise your hand, we're going to have an altar call right now. There's times when what God is telling us to do can be scary. You know, people run around with those no fear stickers on their back. Yeah, okay. Maybe outwardly you're putting on this facade, but we know that ain't the real deal, because everybody has fears at times. But, you know, courage is not the absence of fear. It's mastery over it. It's not allowing your fear to control you. And if you take good courage and you trust the Lord and you step out for him, God will meet you in that place of obedience, and he'll give you supernatural boldness to be able to speak to a stranger. Remember, we talked about Timothy. Paul was telling Timothy, Timothy, I know that you have a tendency, I'm paraphrasing, to be timid, to be shy. But what did he tell him to do? He said, but you need to stir up the gift of God within you. Amen. So you'll have boldness in the power of the Holy Spirit to do what God's called you to do. Amen. Irregardless of your own personal insecurities. Well, I just can't. Well, just start saying, I can. If God tells me to, you can. How many know that God would never tell you to do something without providing the grace for you to do it? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, in other words, I have to actually hear the word. That's what the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Somebody has to be willing to be a preacher for God. Somebody has to be willing to open up their mouth and speak on behalf of the Lord. Amen. To be a vessel for him so that somebody can hear the word of salvation so that they can be saved. The old Francis of Assisi thing, there's no proof he actually said this, but preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. How many know that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save the lost? God has chosen the preaching of the message, the spoken word, amen, to bring people to faith. So yes, Christian character is important, but we have to be willing to speak when God tells us to. You got to be willing, amen, to share the truth with people. Because it's only the truth that's going to save people. It's only going to set them free. Even if they get upset with you, amen, I don't know about you, but I've been upset a few times when people have spoke the truth in my life. But thankfully, you know, later on I realized, you know what, they were right. And I'm glad that they spoke the truth to me. Because they love me enough to do that. We don't speak the truth to people, amen, as a weapon against them. We speak the truth in love, amen, because we care about their soul. Yes, we're to bear good fruit of Christian character. But it's through the spoken word that people come to saving faith in Christ. Now, I'm just going to say this again. The devil has convinced and deceived some people in the church to thinking that it's unnecessary to speak out or teach the word. That somehow all we need to do is be nice. Just be nice. Was Jesus always nice? Was he always good and kind and gentle and all these? Yeah. But Jesus spoke the truth. And the truth was not always popular. But God knows those who are his. And there are people that are around us, that we meet, that we run into, that are looking for what we have. They're looking for life, but they're looking for life in all the wrong places. They don't know where else to look. They don't know where to find life. So they're trying to find life in this world like we all were at one time. Trying to fill ourselves up on things that never satisfied us. You know? And like I said, I think it was last week, if we don't find contentment in the Lord and where we're at here and now in Him, then we'll never be content in life. Even if you move and relocate or get a new job or a new thing, if you don't find contentment in the Lord here and now, you're not going to find it somewhere else or with somebody else. You're going to find your contentment in the Lord. That's where it begins. See, the false prophets certainly have learned how to use words to persuade people into error. See, the devil knows the importance of words, doesn't he? I mean, how many times have we been wounded and hurt by words, right? But how many times have people also been deceived by words? Great swelling words, you know, alluring people through verbal, you know, manipulation to get people to do things that they shouldn't do. Because the words were used craftily in such a way that people thought that they were getting a good deal. Sir, this car is for you. I can see you riding in this car. Maybe a block down the road, I can see you getting towed away, but you know. But you know, people have learned how to use words, right? To persuade people into maybe receiving something that is really not good for them and they know it. But that's how the devil operates. But whenever the Lord gives us something, it's always good. He only serves the best, right? The devil says, hey, go out and get drunk. The next day you're vomiting and feeling sick and hungover. But the Lord says, here, come and dine with me. Drink the best. I only serve the best. And there's no regret. Fill yourself up. Delight yourself in Him. If you want to get high, what? Go to the Most High. The only way somebody can genuinely be saved is not just because I'm nice. Because I told them the truth. You got to tell your children the truth. Well, I'm afraid I might upset Johnny. Well, upset Johnny. He may not like it now, but later on he'll appreciate the fact that you were truthful. Well, I really don't want to. I know Johnny is out there, playing in traffic, but I really don't want to offend Johnny. Is there any Johnnies here today? I hope not. 1 Peter 1:10, of this salvation, salvation that we know. The prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached what? The gospel by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. They had to hear the word spoken by the Holy Spirit through a human vessel in order to be saved. Things which angels desire to look into. How about praise as fruit of our lips? Amen. Prayer. Bearing the fruit of our lips. Psalms 47:1. Oh, clap your hands, all ye peoples. Shout to God what? With a voice of triumph. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That we may proclaim what? The praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our prayer is also a fruit that delights the Father. You hear me, somebody? Revelation 5:8. Now when he, Jesus, had taken the scroll in Revelation, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. It says that there are these golden bowls in heaven, amen, which God actually collects, amen, the prayers, the intercessions of his people here on earth, and they come up before him as a sweet, fragrant offering, as an incense. Remember the earthly tabernacle had the table of incense, didn't it? Hallelujah. Just before they went behind the veil, that was the hallelujah, the priest would come and offer prayers. Do you understand? Our prayers are a sweet, fragrant offering to the Lord. He delights in us. Why? Because when we are praying and we're calling on him, we are believing him. We're relying on him. We're trusting him. When we pray for others, the prayer of faith, we're saying, God, I know you can heal them. I know that you can save them. I know that you can change them. And so we intercede in the Father delights in that. Hallelujah. And then we have, of course, the fruit of our good works. Jesus said, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may what? See your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Titus 3:8, this is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be what? Careful to maintain good works. Well, brother, it's not by works that you're saved. No, but you're saved for good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Now remember, our works are not a means to salvation. You can't earn it, but a result or a fruit of salvation. When you are born again, you receive a new nature, a new heart, new desire, new passions. Amen. And now you want to do things that before, you know, you might not have ever considered. You know, when we're in the world, most of us are very self-centered naturally. But when you receive the Spirit of Christ and the Lord comes to dwell within your heart, then you have a heart to love and to share and to give and to bless. And so that's the part of you that you need to yield to. And you make the choice who I'm going to serve every day. So we're expected to bear good fruit. Jesus wants us to live our lives in such a way that on the day when we see him, we will have fruit to offer him. So what will you bring to the King? What will you have to offer Jesus in that day? It's time that we say, Lord, you've been so good to me. You've invested in me. You've given me abilities and gifts. Maybe I'm not even aware what they are yet. But Lord, I'm asking you to reveal to me who I am in you and who you are in me and where I can be a benefit. Where can I go, Lord, and invest what you've given to me so that I may also bear fruit and bring a return to you, that in that day when I see you, I will not be empty-handed, but I will have a harvest of righteousness to present to you, because I have obeyed your voice." God's not telling us just to go out and do a bunch of good things. God's saying, "I want you to partner with me. I want you to draw near to me. I want you to seek, and you'll find." He wants us to stir the gift of God within our hearts as we pray in the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we worship and make music in our hearts to the Lord, as we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. And when you're near to the Lord, you begin to recognize His voice. His voice becomes clearer as you get nearer. And the Lord will begin to speak, and He'll say, "This is what I want you to do." And it doesn't have to be a lofty thing. Just pick up the phone and call Joe. Is Joe still here? There's Joe back there. Or pray for somebody. You see somebody in Walmart in the line, somebody maybe struggling with, has a physical problem. Sometimes the Lord is going to prompt you just to pray for that person. Why? Because God wants to demonstrate that He loves that person in a very tangible way. Being available to bear fruit. Worshiping the Lord. Giving thanks to the Lord, the fruit of your lips. Praying for others. Bearing fruit. Amen? Just being available. As a vessel, as an ambassador representing the King in His interests and not your own. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We get to serve Him. Hallelujah. I say, let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we thank You. Hallelujah. For Your goodness, Your grace, Your mercy, Your patience with us. Lord, that You don't give up on us. Lord, that You don't throw us away when we fail. But Lord, that You will teach us through our failure how to succeed, how to correct the future. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that our sins are forgiven because of the blood and because of our confession. And we receive forgiveness today in Jesus' name. Lord, Your word says, if we walk in the light as You are in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, Your Son, cleanses us from all sin, all unrighteousness. Thank You, Lord, for that. God, today, I pray, Father, that You would awaken Your people. God, I ask You to wake us up inside. God, I ask You to bring us to full flame. God, wake up our hearts. God, I pray that the gift of God that's dormant within us will be activated by faith as we, Lord, are willing to step out and speak and to strike the waters and call upon Your name. We know You're able, and we're looking for someone who will go. Who shall I send? Who will go for me? Then said I, "Hear my Lord, send me." Are you willing today to make the full plunge? How many understand that soon and very soon, we're going to see the King? And we want to bring an offering. The more, the merrier. So find out, discover what you can do to involve yourself in the mission of Christ here and now, that you might have fruit to offer the King who deserves it. I want to love You back, Lord, the rest of my life. Show me how and where I can invest, Lord, what You've given me. How I can make the world a better place for others. How I can lead others to You through my example and through my words. Father, I ask You to give me grace. Give me strength. Lord, I ask You to strengthen each one of us by Your Spirit in the inward man. Oh, Holy Spirit. Would you just say, "Holy Spirit, I welcome You. Come flood my heart and change the atmosphere. Open my eyes, the eyes of my understanding. Reveal to me Your will for my life. In Jesus' name." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.